the heart of the Prophet ﷺ was made so powerful, it was made al-fu'ad, as if the ultimate kind of heart is the heart of the Messenger ﷺ. It's an incredible praise of the Prophet
ﷺ. وَالنَّجْمِ إِذَا هَوَى مَا ضَلَّ صَاحِبُكُمْ وَمَا غَوَى.
Wouldn't it be nice if there was a streaming service that brought you closer to the Quran? Bayana TV strives to do just that, with over 2,000 hours of enlightening content centered on the Quran and Arabic. Make learning a habit. Tap now to get Bayana TV for yourself today.
Now, the translation of this ayah, the heart did not lie about what he saw. The heart did not lie about what he saw. Strange phrase. But the heart doesn't see, the eye sees, isn't it? But he says the heart saw. I want you to understand here, the Quran is giving you a way of looking at reality, that there are two realities, a seen reality and an unseen reality. Physics will call it the fourth, fifth, sixth, and seventh dimensions. Now in quantum physics, we're talking about the unseen, and we call them dimensions. But we've called it ghaib all along. There's an unseen reality. And that unseen reality, the laws of physics, chemistry, biology, the ones that work here, they don't work in that. That's a different realm. You understand that, right? So in the physical world, the fastest thing we can see traveling is light, and that takes billions of years. But from the unseen realm, Jibreel can get here in a split, you know, tarfatu ayn, in a blink of an eye, he can be here. You understand that, yeah? So the way the unseen world works is not the way that the seen one works. Now, Allah describes human beings as made up of two parts, a part that is seen and a part that is unseen. My body is seen, the EKG scans and the different kinds of body recognition can actually show you what's the systems inside your body, the seen systems. But there's also another unseen part of me that no scan can capture, right? That's the ruh inside me. That's my spiritual heart. So now, the heart, when I say the heart, there's this icon that comes in your head, right? Or there's a visual image of the biological heart with its chambers that comes in your mind. But there's an unseen heart too. That's not this one. That's not the biological heart that pumps blood. That's another heart that's not seen. There are eyes that are these eyes. But there's also what? Spiritual eyes. Unseen eyes. There's ears, but there's also what? Spiritual ears. There's a heart, the physical heart, spiritual heart. Physical eyes, spiritual eyes. Physical ears, spiritual ears. And a lot of times the Quran is talking about the spiritual heart. And what does he say? ثُمَّ قَسَتْ قُلُوبُكُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ ذَلِكَ فَهِيَ كَالْحِجَارَةِ أَوْ أَشَدُّ قَسْوَةً. Your hearts became hard, even harder than stone. And somebody comes to me, what is that? These people, their heart didn't become like a stone. That would die. Yeah, no, their heart was still squishy. But Allah is not talking about their physical heart. Which heart is He talking about? The spiritual heart. Now this heart, the physical heart, it pumps blood. Cool. Allah says, لَهُمْ قُلُوبٌ لَا يَفْقَهُونَ بِهَا. They have hearts, but they don't understand with them. They have hearts, but they don't understand with them. Wait. That's the brain. Why do you say the heart? The Quran is unscientific. You betcha. The Quran is not scientific. The Quran is scientific and it's also what? Spiritual. When you start reading the Quran as a science textbook, you have a problem. Because you're looking at one dimension. The Quran is two dimensions, the seen and the unseen. So he says they have hearts. They don't see it. They don't understand with them. He says, لَهُمْ أَعْيُنٌ لَا يُبْصِرُونَ بِهَا. They have eyes. They don't see with them. But they do see. Abu Jahl sees. Abu Lahab sees, but Allah says they have eyes they don't see with them. Which eyes is He talking about? The spiritual eyes. They have ears, but they don't hear with them. But sound waves go in. They hear the sounds of the Quran. They do hear, but they don't hear from the spiritual ears. You understand? And by the way, the spiritual heart, the spiritual eyes, the spiritual ears are all the heart, actually. It's actually all the heart. When someone's heart becomes hard, then they can't hear anything. They can't see. That's why Allah says, خَتَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ وَعَلَىٰ سَمْعِهِمْ وَعَلَىٰ صَلِمْ غِشَاوَةٍ. So the hearing and the seeing are mentioned, but the heart is actually the thing that's sealed. And because the heart is sealed, the hearing no longer benefits, the seeing no longer benefits. You understanding this point? This concept? Okay. Now, the Prophet ﷺ is experiencing the seen world and the unseen world at the same time. We can't. We can only, there are multiple curtains between the seen and the unseen. On Judgment Day, Allah will remove the curtain between the seen and the unseen. He says, فَكَشَفْنَا عَنْكَ غِطَاءَكَ فَبَصَرُكَ الْيَوْمَ حَدِيدٍ. We have removed your veil. You could see clearly, crystal clear now. Iron-clad vision. فَبَصَرُكَ الْيَوْمَ حَدِيدٍ. The Prophet ﷺ, the veil has already been lifted. So he has now, he has view of the seen and the, what is otherwise unseen, he can see it. Some of it. It's multiple curtains. Some of them have been removed from the Prophet ﷺ. Now one of them that's been removed is his ability to see the angels. Now when you can see the angels, is that going to be from the physical eyes or is that going to be from the spiritual eyes is the question. Because that's not from the physical world. That's from the spiritual world. So that, it's not the, and if it, even if it is the, these physical eyes, it's not going to be functioning the same way they work in this material world. This world of cells and this world of atoms. It's not from this world. So beautifully, Allah combines the seen and the unseen when he says, the heart didn't lie about what he saw. Because it's his spiritual experience that is now seeing something physical. It's actually not spiritual for him. It's actually physical for him in that sense. It's just as real. So it's both of these dimensions are fused. Now I want you to understand how beautifully the Quran talks about the opposite of this. The opposite. The opposite is what? What if you remove someone's curtain, but their heart still cannot see reality? Because they weren't a believer to begin with. Their heart wasn't ready for that reality. You know, when you're eating unhealthy food, right? And then all of a sudden you eat healthy food, what are you going to feel? A stomach ache. Yuck, I can't digest it. You know why? Because your body's not used to the healthy. When you're spiritually deprived, when you're spiritually bankrupt, and then you're shown the spiritual reality, guess what? You have an allergic reaction. You can't accept it. The Prophet ﷺ, what he saw, he accepted it. Why? Because his heart is already spiritually conditioned. You understand? Now look at the flip side. وَلَوْ فَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ بَابًا مِّنَ السَّمَاءِ. Allah says about the kuffar, the disbelievers. He says, if we opened a door from the sky, فَظَلُّوا فِيهِ يَعْرُجُونَ, and they started transcending up into the sky and traveling into the skies, if we opened up the intergalactic travel so they can see the unseen, لَقَالُوا إِنَّمَا سُكِّرَتْ أَبْصَارُنَا بَلْ نَحْنُ قَوْمٌ مَسْحُورُونَ. They would have said, our eyes are drunk. Somebody did some spell on us. Even if they saw the unseen, they would what? Reject it. They would reject it. Because their hearts aren't, they can't withstand it. They're not tuned to it. Just because Allah, if Allah just removed the unseen veil, because sometimes atheists come to me and say, Why can't I see the angels? Why can't I see the devils? You know Allah's answer to that? If you saw them, you wouldn't believe it. You'd say, you slipped in some drugs in my drink. I'm having a psychedelic episode. This is just in my subconscious. This was just a dream. This is a hallucination. That's what you would do. Allah says, وَلَوْ نَزَّلْنَا عَلَيْكَ كِتَابًا فِي قِرْطَاسٍ. If we sent a book down to you in pages that come floating down from the sky, imagine if pages of the Quran were coming floating from the sky, فَلَمَسُوهُ بِأَيْدِيهِمْ, and they touched those pages with their own hands, لَقَالَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا إِنْ هَذَا إِلَّا سِحْرٌ مُبِينٌ. I guarantee the disbelievers would have said, this is real, obviously magic. It's really cool though. That's what they would have done. Rasulullah ﷺ, مَا كَذَبَ الْفُؤَادُ مَا رَأَى. The heart didn't lie about what he saw. Look at the word al-fu'ad. He didn't say his heart didn't lie. He said the heart didn't lie. This is Lamul Kamal, which means the Prophet's heart was so perfect. Only his heart could have seen what it saw. Other human hearts were not capable of withstanding the experience of looking at Jibreel alayhi salam the way he saw him. I want to give you an example. If you look at the sun, can you stare at the sun? How do you think you can look at Jibreel made of nur? and not even physical nur. On top of that's like the ghaib nur. And now you can see. That requires a special kind of power, and that power can only come from the heart. The heart of the Prophet ﷺ was made so powerful, it was made al-fu'ad, as if the ultimate kind of heart is the heart of the Messenger ﷺ. It's an incredible praise of the Prophet ﷺ. People say, I want to praise the Prophet ﷺ, I want to make a nasheed. You ain't never going to come up with a better nasheed in the ayat of the Quran to describe the Messenger of Allah ﷺ. The way he's talked about in the Quran, alayhi salatu wasalam, somebody wants to love and admire the Messenger of Allah, study Quran, man. Study Quran. مَا كَذَبْ أَلْفُؤَادُ مَا رَأَى أَلْفُؤَادُ. The experience of it, his heart could withstand it. He could tolerate it. SubhanAllah. You will notice here, رَأَى, what he saw. What he saw. Now the word saw in Arabic is before I go there, I'll just tell you now. Ra'a in Arabic means two things. To see and to understand, to internalize. Just like in English. You say, I see. Have you ever done that? Yeah. You could be talking to somebody on the phone, the lights are off, and they say, you know what happened? This happened. You're like, I see. You don't see anything. It's dark. You're not on FaceTime. What do you see? What do you mean by I see? I understand. I grasp now. The same thing happens in Arabic. This is why the Prophet, by the way, the elephant story, elephant Abraha and the elephant story, did that happen before or after the Prophet? Before the Prophet. Allah says, أَلَمْ تَرَ كَيْفَ فَعَلَ رَبُّكَ بِأَصْحَابِ الْفِيلِ. Didn't you see how Allah dealt with the people of the field? The Prophet didn't see it. What is he saying there? Didn't you what? Didn't you understand? Didn't you internalize? Didn't you fully grasp what happened with the people of the field? So ru'ya in Arabic is used for seeing, is also used for what? Understanding. The Prophet ﷺ didn't just see something. He also what? He understood it. Anybody else who saw it would have been like, yeah, I've gone crazy. Yeah, I'm insane. He saw it and he understood it. And he saw it and he understood his role. He saw it and he understood what he has to do, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The position he's been put on, the burden he has to carry. And by the way, can you imagine the heaviest burden ever put on a human being? The burden that had to be delivered by legions of angels is about to be put on one single human being. Can you imagine the pressure of that burden? You would have to have some kind of heart to load that burden on top of you and still be able to carry it. مَا كَذَبَ الْفُؤَادُ مَا رَأَى. The heart of our Messenger, the Quran that a mountain couldn't bear, his heart took. The mountain would have exploded, and his heart didn't deny it, didn't shy from it, didn't cower from it. Remember the meanings of kadhib? Didn't seek convenience from it, didn't run away from it. Oh my God. And then he says, now this, أَفَتُمَارُونَهُ, this is the ayah we'll close with. I will get to 12 today. أَفَتُمَارُونَهُ عَلَى مَا يَرَى. Are you going to doubt him about what he sees? Are you going to doubt him about what he sees? This is a list of words in Arabic that mean doubt, that are all used in the Quran. Shubha is used in the Quran. Shak is used. Maraj is used. Labas is used. Raib is used. Raba yaribu. Raiban is used. Imtara yamtari, which is from this root. Tumarunahu. Mirya is used. All different words. They all mean doubt. Then what's going to be the difference? The difference is not going to be in the primary meaning. The difference will be in the secondary meaning. The crazy thing is, you guys say, I can just read a translation, it's fine. You're going to read shak, shubha, maraj, mirya, labas, and raib, and all of their translations will say what? Doubt. And you're like, oh, it's the same thing. It's not the same thing. They're all different because all of them have secondary meanings attached. So the secondary meaning of mirya, the word that's being used in this ayah, are you doubting him? Is a specific kind of doubt. When something is crystal clear and then you add lies to it and assumptions to it and corrupt it until people start getting confused about it, that's called mirya. So it was crystal clear to begin with and then you started creating confusion in it and mixing it and polluting it. So the imagery of muddying the waters. The water was clear, you kept throwing mud in it. This is what you're doing with what he sees. And by the way, this might even explain the satanic verse allegation. They heard something clear and they threw mud in it. And Allah calls it out already. Are you going to be muddying it? Are you going to be casting doubt in it in regards to what he sees? And notice the previous ayah was ra'a. The heart did not lie about what he saw. He saw the angel on the horizon, what he saw. But now he says, are you going to cast doubt on him over not what he saw, but what he sees? And also not just what he sees, what he understands. This is deep. Allah is telling these kuffar, you're going to doubt him about what he not only sees. He sees the angel, but the way he sees reality, the way he sees life, the way he sees truth, the way he sees your false religion and cuts right through it, the way he sees through all of your excuses, the way that he sees, you know, no one can see the way that he sees. His arguments are so crystal clear, and you are going to cast doubt on him. If I was to translate this in print, I would put the you in like font size 24 and then him in font size 24. You are going to put doubt on him in what he sees? Have you know, in Farsi, I learned a recent phrase, Qawarit Bibi. Have you seen your face? Aqat pata apni? Have you seen, you know who you are? Who are you talking to? Know your role. You are going to cast doubt on him? What position are you standing on? What truth are you standing on that you're going to put doubts on him? This is the mentality. I want every one of you to just take this idea, this ayah's lesson, put it in a little bit of your milk and drink it and live with it. Because when people try to give you doubts about your religion, أَفَتُمَارُونَهُ عَلَى مَا يَرَى should be your attitude. Not, oh, I'm getting confused, I'm having doubts. Listen to these words. Are these words empowering or what? Like, the Prophet ﷺ's vision, his understanding, the view of the world that the Quran is giving is so powerful. How are you? Give me something that puts doubt in it. Give me something that puts doubt in it. And that's where I'm going to show you their scheme. What did I say mirya is? To take something clear and put a doubt in it. What the kuffar did this a thousand and a half years ago, they still do this today. They'll take one issue and they'll twist it. And they'll say, they'll find one pain point that can be misused. Then they'll press on it and press on it and press on it and say, Islam isn't true because of this. Look, age of Aisha, age of Aisha, age of Aisha, age of Aisha, age of Aisha. You're like, Quran, revelation. Yeah. But what about the age of Aisha though? They'll take one thing and squeeze and squeeze and squeeze. And somebody will say, everything that I came to understand, all of that truth can now disappear, vanish into thin air because they came up with one allegation, which doesn't even hold water anyway. They came up with this allegation with this surah. Oh, he likes Lat, Manat, and Uzza. They're holding on to it and hoping somebody will watch that YouTube video and they'll have doubts about all of Islam because they found this one thing that, I bet you nobody has answers to that. For entertainment purposes, sometimes I watch TikTok. Astaghfirullah. And I follow a number of atheists. I find a lot of entertainment personally in listening to atheists. I find it extremely entertaining. And sometimes they take shots at Muslims, which I'm waiting for. Not because I want to respond, because, you know, عَلَّمَهُ شَدِيدُ الْقُوَى, you don't really need to feel the need to respond. It was entertaining too. تُمَارُونَهُ عَلَى مَا يَرَى. That's my attitude towards it. So I listen to their arguments sometimes, what they say about Islam. And it's so cool what they do. It's really cute. They'll take something, they're an ayah, a hadith, something. They'll ugly misuse of it, completely misrepresent it, and then disprove their misunderstanding. And now that they've disproven their misunderstanding, they've disproven Islam. And it works on many Muslim youth because you guys don't spend time learning your own religion, don't learn your own book. So when they misrepresent your book, you're like, that's what it does say though, right? And then you start having doubts. And then you start arguing with your parents. Mom, I don't even know why you follow this religion. Watch this TikToker. And then your mom, she's a nice lady. She went to Umrah and everything. And she did Hajj and she fasted Ramadan and makes you your iftar and all of that. She's like, what is this new fitna? But she never studied Quran either, even though she's a devout Muslim. Because she was Muslim because her parents were Muslim. So she doesn't know how to answer him. So she takes him to the imam. Well, luckily, you have people like Sheikh Yasser Qadhi and others here. But like, she takes you some woman in Bangladesh and Pakistan and Australia and England. She takes your local imam. He's asking these questions. We need ruqya. Because this clearly this guy's got a jinn on him. The only the jinn we have on us is the jinn keeping us from reading Quran. That's the jinn we have on us. Just say, A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim, and start reading Quran. And start contemplating Quran. And you know what it will do? It makes you what? Strong. It crushes doubts. You laugh at people that are trying to cast doubt. It doesn't shake you up. You know, when the Mi'raj happened, because we're going to read about the heavenly ascension tomorrow, right? Because this was the first meeting. This meeting is on earth. The next meeting is going to be in the sky. When they heard about the meeting in the sky, oh, so you believe in a flying prophet? He had intergalactic travel? This is what you believe. And you're saying this is a logical faith. Now they're going to press into that and you'll be like, I mean, maybe it's just like spiritual travel. Maybe it didn't really physically happen. And you start taking back steps because you feel like you're on the defensive because you have to try to give a logical response that meets the scientific criteria. Maybe it's just a subconscious journey. Maybe it was just a dream. All of these are attempts to do what? To take the literal away from it so that it fits with the materialistic narrative. Because you want to deny the unseen, the ability to journey in the unseen. Look at the language. Ra'a, yara, ma zaga al-basar, ma kadhaba al-fu'ad. See. Though he saw him on the horizon spiritually, he got up. He came close. He came this close. He came even closer. Is this figurative or is this literal language? This is literal language. And you're going to take all of that and do mental gymnastics and say, no. This was a spiritual journey, but he was physically still home. He just mentally traveled. No, this was a journey. This happened. And you have to develop confidence in why it happened. And that's, inshallah ta'ala, what we're going to try and do tomorrow. Tomorrow is probably the hardest session for me, but make dua, I'm able to do justice to it. I'll see you guys tomorrow. Sorry for keeping you late. Actually, I'm not sorry at all. Barakallahu li wa lakum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Hey guys, you just watched a small clip of me explaining the Quran in depth as part of the Deeper Look series. Studying the Quran in depth can seem like a really intimidating thing that's only meant for scholars. Our job at Bayyinah is to make deeper study of the Quran accessible and easy for all of you. So take us up on that challenge. Join us for this study, the Deeper Look of the Quran, for this surah and many other surahs on BayyinahTV.com under the Deeper Look section.